Welcome to the Smart Firefighting Podcast. Kevin Sofen here, where we cover all things related to the future of smart technology for first responders around the world. Please enjoy the show and let me know what you want to learn about next. In this episode, you're going to hear from Mike Bugino. Mike has worked in the respiratory protection fit testing process for many years and has overseen thousands of annual fit tests. Mike knows the frustrations around fit testing all too well, and while he was working this role, he decided there must be a better way. In comes 3D Fit, which you will hear about in this podcast and how it will help save first responders and medical workers time and make them safer with better fitting masks. Hope you enjoy. So Mike, why is it so important for the gear that first responders wear, especially on their face, to fit properly?
That's an excellent question. The reason why it has to fit is because it's protecting you from whatever's outside. So you are in a dangerous atmosphere, smoke, chemical spray, whatever it is. You need to ensure that that SCBA that, let's say, the firefighter is wearing, it has to be properly fitted and it has to have a tight seal around the face. So you have to know that it's properly sealed so you can breathe that fresh air that's being supplied. Now, in the case of an N95, another first responder, let's say an EMT, paramedic, they're putting on an N95, or even firefighters would put on N95s because they are responding to a house and they've got someone who's having trouble breathing and they go into the back of the house. It's dark. There's no windows. There's Kleenex everywhere, snot coming out of the face. You're probably looking at tuberculosis, right? So when I put on that N95, I need to know I've got a good seal. I've got protection. Whatever air I'm breathing in has been filtered by that media, that N95 media. So when it says respiratory protection, that seal is your protection and that media is your protection.
And it's funny because, maybe not funny, but my wife went through this challenge where she works in a hospital as a speech therapist, and she's now failed multiple of these N95 fit tests where they've set her up and they kind of have a machine going and they brought in different masks and she kept failing. And then I think after like 3 months, they finally found some masks that fit, but it prevented her from seeing certain patients. It was a challenge. But why is the fit testing a challenge? Like, what makes finding the right mask an obstacle for different first responders, whether that's hospital workers or firefighters?
Kevin, that's an excellent question. And that is exactly what 3D Fit was made for. The big challenge is to take that unique face that's hard to fit and find a respirator for that face, because not every respirator fits a face properly. So in a typical scenario, when an employer is giving an employee respiratory protection, and in your wife's case, the N95, they probably have one, two, maybe three different manufacturers or three different models. If she doesn't fit it, she doesn't work. So in that case, they have to run back out to the store and the supplier and go find another mask for her. And then they have to stock that, and there's challenges that way. But where 3D Fit is beneficial in those scenarios, 3D Fit just doesn't do a fit test for one respirator and one size at a time. It does fit testing for all the respirators, all the sizes simultaneously. So it'll, however many we have in the database, you're getting a fit test inside of 5 seconds.
So take me through that a little bit more, where there's all these different manufacturers of equipment and they're kind of considering for the average faces, which is the average nose size and cheek size and chin size and lips and all these different things that make us human, but we're different. How do you go about measuring that? And then sort of how do you use those insights to more effectively decide and get the PPE that first responders need to do their job?
That's a process that we're actually going through right now in development, is finding populations. So we're working with fire departments, police departments. We collected data from a SWAT team, for instance. We went to them saying, okay, you are a population that have been fitted for this particular model and from this particular manufacturer. Your data from your faces is going to train our algorithms to know these are the parameters of medium face. And that's one algorithm. And then all their smalls, the people who have the smalls, they're going to train our algorithm to know these are the parameters for a small face. And then the same for the largest. So we have three different algorithms just for that one model. And so now when we bring in a new person, a new hire, it runs them through all three algorithms and says, it might fit a large and a medium, but it actually fits the medium better, right? And the small is a hopeless case. So, and that's the trouble with the legacy machinery that's out there for fit testing is they strap on one and it kind of fits, but it doesn't really. Then they pull it tighter and now you get a better score. Well, is that the best fit? Yeah, we don't really know. Let's go to the next person because it takes so long. So this really eliminates that kind of guessing.
And then talked about just the process of this legacy machinery, and then ultimately you try on these different masks or respirators and you just kind of pull it tighter to see if it fits, and maybe you're just cutting out blood circulation and you can't even feel it, so you don't even know. Talking about the 3D fit technology that you've created, like I am a first responder, firefighter, I walk in and I'm now going to sit down or stand up and get 3D fit tested. What happens and what's the process, and kind of talk me through from A to Z on what has actually happened and what's it look like?
For 3D fit, what it looks like is they will take a smart device. Right now we are iOS, Apple products only. We'll eventually go out into other smart devices platforms. But they simply hold up the smart device to their face. They put their face inside an oval. And they push the start button, and in under 5 seconds, it'll tell you all of the respirators and what particular sizes that you will fit. It's really anticlimactic in a way because it is so fast. You know, I show people demonstrations of it, and they're expecting, you know, a 30-minute presentation. And it's, like I say, it's very anticlimactic, but the point is made in a dramatic fashion. And I'll give you a great example of how we collected data just recently from a large fire department. And this training captain had just brought on 20 new recruits. And they had just spent an entire week fit testing them, you know, because you got to bring one in and then they take in half an hour or 20 minutes or whatever it is to go from A beginning to end. And then they bring in the next one. And then that guy has to go to lunch or he's got a doctor appointment. So there goes, you know, then fit testing is done for the day. It took an entire week to do these 20 individuals. So then I showed them what it would be like to have a fit test done for the entire group. And it's the same process, really, for the data collection that we did. So we collected data on all 20 individuals, which is going to be the same exact procedures for the fit test. We did all of them inside of about 4 minutes. And I just about had to pick the training captain up off the ground. He was just floored that this will be the future of fit testing. We will have been able to do a classroom of 20 new recruits fit testing inside of 4 minutes. He couldn't believe it. So like I say, it's a very fast, almost anticlimactic process because all you do is put your face in an oval, press a button, and it's done.
Well, that's what we want. We just want it to be fast, efficient, and to do its job. It's sort of an out of sight, out of mind thing.
That's exactly right. And the data points that's going to be needed that from a particular phase to run through the algorithms, maybe 20 to 50 data points. We are still in development to figure out, you know, how many exactly we're going to need, what's going to give us the best results. So that's where we are in development right now.
That's really exciting. I mean, you talked about aspects of the time saved, and that's great. You touched on the legacy dynamic. What are different like standards and regulations and compliance things that whether it's first responders need to be aware of, or frankly, someone trying to consider something different than the legacy systems? How are you approaching compliance and regulations to be able to implement this new effective technology that makes this process, which is so important, overall better for everyone?
Yeah, an alternative respirator fit test method has to go through a particular process that is outlined in ANSI, in ANSI content. It's ANSI Z88.1.10. And it outlines what an alternative respirator fit test will need to do in order to be accepted by OSHA as a new fit testing method. So, you know, there was one years ago that was the only one on the market, and then a new one came on. Now those are the two big ones, if you will. And then mine will have to go through that same process to be accepted.
Thanks for that context. As you've been talking this whole time, I was thinking about how COVID was a time where we all had to put masks on. A lot of people would never worn masks or wearing masks. And I think this conversation has become more important since then, whether it's wanting to prepare for the future of an event like this happening, as well as better equipping all the first and secondary responders or their therapy workers that deal with these kind of challenges. How has everything that happened in COVID from 2020, frankly, till now, how has that made this conversation more important? Or what? Why? How do you think COVID has impacted or accelerated the need for this type of fit testing to be able to ensure that masks are properly fitted and insured correctly?
Yeah, I was privy to an online conference call with some of the most prominent people in the very small industry. And this one gentleman who was a huge supporter of 3D Fit and world-renowned expert, he said that the number with COVID, the number of users at the peak was about 8 to 10x. So whatever the number was prior, and here at 3D Fit, we think it's about 80 million around the world. He said it went 8x. And in speaking to him just off to the side a couple of months later, we were talking about something else. And I asked him about that number, and he said, nah, it's probably 3x. So 80 million times 3 was the number of respirator users around the world. And I think that's probably accurate because it comes the number of people in just an employment setting just exploded. We had people who had never worn a respirator for work before. Cashiers. How many cashiers are in the United States that were working during COVID? They were an essential worker. And just to give it a big round concept, any essential worker that interacted with the public, they needed to be fit tested. It didn't happen. So, but with 3D Fit, they would just need to pull out their phone, click, boom, you're fit tested. It would have been an amazing product at the time, having a tremendous impact, certainly saving lives. And then you go to the normal everyday user that goes to a large box store where you get home supplies and you pull an N95 off the shelf and you think, am I a small or am I a medium? What am I? And then little QR code on the side, uploads the 3D Fit app on the phone, put your face in the oval, click, oh, I'm a medium. I'll put the small back. You go to the front and pay for your medium mask and you bought the right one. So COVID really brought the need to the forefront. Really exciting. Really great. We got great speed.
Just because the need was there at that point doesn't mean it's not a good time to continue to create and bring the solution to life, which is I know what you're doing. So kudos and good on you.
Thank you.
And I guess this is sort of not to stray from exactly what we're talking about, but kind of I always ask people on this podcast of something that they're really excited about, and then on the flip side, something that kind of keeps them up at night, gives them pause. With your experience across different aspects of public safety, and I know you had some time when you were in Cal Fire within the role there, you've got a wide experience, a professional experience, as well as have been involved in everything that's happened since COVID. What is something right now that you're really excited about? It could be with the fire service or public safety in general, and it's something that gives you a little pause that, you know, maybe keeps you up at night a little bit before you fall asleep.
Huh. What I'm excited about is, gosh, you know, how much advancement is happening in safety in general. This being one of them. And then now, not to try to blow smoke up your skirt, but I love this platform that you've created and to share the advancements that happen, because fire departments can be kind of siloed outside of, you know, chief's meetings and captain's meetings and, you know, the front line guys and gals, they don't often get an idea of what's actually happening out there. So podcasts like this is just an amazing advancement and a tool to really pull products through in development. And I think 3D Fit is being pulled through as well. That's one of them. So that really excites me and how fast things are changing. What keeps me up at night? Ugh. You know, I used to be actually kind of a little bit worried about the acceptance of a facial scan. And now having gone to a number of fire departments and seeing the excitement of, yeah, let's do this. Here, let's use my facial data points to help develop this. Everybody, except one guy out of a couple hundred that I've been to so far. And he was very cordial. He was a young guy, but he was very cordial about it. And I said, nah, it's not a problem. And everybody else still, yes, let's move this forward. Let's advance. Whatever you need, let's get this done. So I used to worry about that, but not anymore.
Hey, well, nonetheless, I'll kind of continue to drive why 3D Fit exists, why you're here, and the important solution that you're bringing to the world. So just on behalf of smart firefighting, the smart first responder community, and Darley and everyone involved, just want to thank you for your entrepreneurial spirit and passion. And this is one of those things that maybe most people don't think about, but it's one of those things that actually can cause a lot of problems if not done right. And there is beauty in the simplicity of the final product that day you bring it to life. So all I can say is keep going. You're doing an amazing job, and I'm excited to see what's next and as 3D Fit continues to come to market.
Yeah, thanks. We're glad to do it. We are very passionate about it and super excited. Thanks for having us on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Mike. Until next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Smart Firefighting Podcast today. If you enjoyed what you heard and got any value, please drop us a rating, leave us a comment, or reach out to us on social media. Have a great day, and together we can advance the future of smart firefighting.